Our scripture reading today, Joel 2:28-29, the day of the Lord. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.
I give honor today to the board, the elders, the trustees, and all of the congregation, and I just thank God. I wanted to get that out. I like to just bless you all each week, knowing that I'm honored to be here, and I count it a privilege that I'm here each Sunday to share with you. And today I want to talk about Pentecost Sunday. I was doing a little research on it, and I thought I would share a little bit about it today, just how it's a promise fulfilled. And so first, Pentecost Sunday is 50 days after the Passover or Easter Sunday. It's also called the Feast of Weeks, one of three annual feasts. Jews from many nations gather in Jerusalem for the feast. This day, 50 days after the resurrection and 10 days after the ascension, is when the promise of the Holy Spirit came to pass. So I'd like to give you that history, but with that in mind, let's go to Acts 2:1-4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled him. So now there's so much in this verse, and I just kind of want to show you where it's a fulfillment from the Old Testament, or the promises of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to start with Exodus 19:16-18. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning with the thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently. And so there was symbolism in this scripture, and it's a fulfillment. The first scripture I read about the day of Pentecost is a fulfillment of this scripture. And so the tongues symbolize speech and the communication of the gospel. Fire symbolizes God's purifying presence, which burns away the undesirable elements of our lives and sets our heart aflame to ignite the lives of others. On Mount Sinai, God confirmed the validity of the Old Testament law with fire from heaven. At Pentecost, God confirmed the validity of the Holy Spirit's ministry by sending fire. On Mount Sinai, fire had come down in one place. At Pentecost, fire came down on many believers, symbolizing that God's presence is now available to all who believe in him. And so I read that because I wanted us to know, on Pentecost, his Holy Spirit is for all of us. We all can take a part in it. Before it wasn't, but it was like for the priests. But for now we all can take a part in his Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to spend the rest of the time talking about the Holy Spirit, but I wanted to get that background out to you. But the Holy Spirit for me is a personal thing. And I have to step away from my notes. I have a lot of notes this week, but because I want to talk about the Holy Spirit, because he's so good to me, I think of him and how he guides me, and how I need to hear his voice before I make a decision. Believe me, before I came here, I had to take time to truly seek out his presence and have him guide me. Is this the right decision? I had to seek the Holy Spirit because I know he's my guide. He directs me. And I'm sure all of you can attest to that. He directs you when you don't know what to do. Sometimes you have to sit in silence, say, Holy Spirit, what do I do in this situation? Where do I go in this situation? How do I handle this situation? And that's what he does. So I'm so thankful for the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came, that he can now be our comforter. He can now be our guide. He can tell us and guide us and direct us in the way we should go and the decisions we should make, what to say to people and how to say it to people. That's how I see the Holy Spirit. So in Luke 3:16, it says, John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So he's telling us, and it's so neat to just kind of see that on that day of Pentecost, what John talked about, the Holy Spirit came. He came on that day, and they were all baptized with fire, but so are we. We have that fire, that power that gives us what we need to do, that guides us as to what we need to do. On Joel 2:28, it says, and afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And that's exactly what happened on the day of Pentecost. And what was so cool about the day of Pentecost is that it was international. There were people from all walks of life that were there. And so he not only, you know, prior to that, women weren't always included, but at that time, the Holy Spirit fell on all of us, all of those people there. And so it's just, to me, it excites me to know that he came and gave them power. They could all go out and begin to win people for God. And so that just blesses me. The last scripture from this part is, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And that's what happened when the Holy Spirit said on them, they were able to go out and be his witnesses and tell people about God. That's how we know. Amen. Because they were able to go out and share about the goodness of Jesus, about the wonder of God. And so the Holy Spirit to me, he's my friend. He truly is my friend. He guides me and he loves on me when I need it. And so John 14:15-27 says, Jesus tells us that the Holy Spirit will comfort us, bring us peace, and bring things back to our remembrance. And so now I have a story. I know you guys, I know you love my stories, but I have a story I want to share about that, how he brings things back to your remembrance. You all know how much I struggled to finish my doctoral degree. And because I was doing chemo, when I went to do my oral exam, and I probably have shared this, but it was such a wonderful example of the Holy Spirit. But when I went to do my oral exam, the first time I did it, I just couldn't remember anything. And so I didn't pass. I failed it because I just couldn't remember anything because I had chemo brain. And so I couldn't remember anything about anything. And so, but when I went back, I said, Holy Spirit, there's a scripture. What I just read, it says he will bring everything back to your remembrance. And so when I went back to do it again, when I walked into the room, I could sense the presence of the Holy Spirit. The room was kind of crackling, if that makes sense to you. It was just filled with excitement. It was filled with his presence. The Holy Spirit was in the room. And surely when I sat down to start answering questions, I was like, where did that come from? But it was because the Holy Spirit fed me that day what I needed. He said, I will bring it back to your remembrance. He brought back things that, I mean, I needed to answer those questions, but he was there in the room, his presence. All of my professors, I've never seen them that giddy. I'd never seen them that happy and full of joy. But the Holy Spirit gives you joy. I'm so thankful that he came back on Pentecost. I'm so thankful that he came to be our comforter, that he brings us joy. But that story to me, I share it everywhere I go because it was so evident that his presence was in the room, that his power was there. And sure enough, when I walked out, my professor, who never hugs, hugged me because God's presence was so powerful there. And he said, that was great. And I'm like, he never says that. He never says that. And so I knew God had come into the room. I knew his Holy Spirit had filled up that room. And you could just feel it. That's all I can say. You could feel his presence. As he says, he will bring things to your remembrance, and he will give you comfort. He comforts you in that time when you need him. In John 16, 5 through 15, the Holy Spirit is our counselor. He convicts us that we can live a holy life. He is our conscience. Now, how many of you, that's one I want to really bring home, because I know it's happened to me. You know, you said something you probably shouldn't have said. And something just kind of weighs on you. It weighs on you and weighs on you, and it kind of convicts you that, you know, you shouldn't have said that. You know, you shouldn't have done that. You know, that wasn't right. And it weighs on you until you apologize, or, you know, whatever the situation may be. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It reminds you, he's your conscience, to do the right thing. He reminds you that, you know what, you're out here. My brother loves to share this story, and I think it's hilarious, but this is what the Holy Spirit does. He hates to go to Walmart or any of those stores, because it seems like he always gets in the longest line, and he loses all of his patience, you know. And so just when he's ready to blow up, the Holy Spirit reminds him, someone might be watching. You are Pastor Sanford. You can't get angry or blow up or move. You want the line to move. You're so impatient. And so he says, the Holy Spirit will remind me. You're representing God. You're representing God here. You can't do anything that doesn't represent him. And so I know we've all had that, but that's what he does. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. He's our conscience. He helps us he's the one that helps you not to rob a bank. He's the one that helps you that although your neighbor, you really, really want to kill them. Not physically, but maybe, but not. He's the one that says, that's not of God. That's not right. You don't want to do that. Or maybe you just want to have words with them. He's the one that won't let you go over next door and just, you know, to your neighbor. That's your Holy Spirit. He's the one that keeps you from making bad choices. He's the one. He's your keeper. He keeps you. He will keep you if you let him. He will keep you. He keeps you from making choices that does not represent God. That does not let you. And you're in the community. People are watching you. And it's important. You're saying you're a man or a woman of God. People are watching you. And so the Holy Spirit keeps you from making bad decisions and bad choices. In Romans 8, 1 through 17, the Spirit helps us to stop sinning. The Spirit will also help us pray when we don't know what to say, and he intercedes for us. And that one's really important to me. Sometimes things get so heavy and we don't know what to say. We know we need God. We know God, if you don't do it, it won't get done. And it gets so heavy on us, but we don't actually know what to say. We're not sure how to pray. That's when your Holy Spirit comes in. He comes in and he helps you to pray and to reach God. It says he intercedes for you to God. That's why he's such an awesome friend to have. He's such an awesome friend to have. Because when you don't know, when I don't know what to do, when I was going through cancer in the middle of the night, I didn't know. Sometimes I was like, God, I'm good. I can go on home with you. Because I had rough chemo. It was really a rough time. And sometimes I would just feel like that. But the Holy Spirit was my comforter. No, God has more for you to do. He has a work for you to do. He has a job for you to do. And he would comfort me, but he would also pray when I didn't know what to say. He would help me to pray. God, help me. God, be my healer. God, be my deliverer. You know, whatever it may be you're going through, the Holy Spirit, he intercedes for you to God. He prays for you and helps you to get through those troubling times, those difficult times. And I know you can all think of things where you were almost at a loss for words. You prayed and you prayed till it felt like you couldn't pray anymore. And yet something comes over you and you're able to reach out to God again. That's your Holy Spirit. He's guiding you and directing you and keeping you. He brings us peace. And I just wanted to share that because I remember Shelley and Patty telling me, they'll come and sit here in the sanctuary because it's so peaceful. And that's the Holy Spirit. When I come in here, when I come on during the week, I come in here and I just walk through because his presence is here. And it's so peaceful. And I just walk through and I pray for all of you. And I pray for our city and I pray, but it's because his presence is here. I can feel his presence right now in the room. He's here. He's here to comfort us. He's our comfort when you need peace. He comes in and he wraps himself around you. You know, and I know it's in the spirit, but you can feel his presence. You can feel him. And there's a song, I keep hearing it, and I'm like, I can't think of exactly, but I can almost feel the words coming out. But that's what he does for us. He's our peace. He gives us peace in the time of trouble. And this sanctuary is so, I can just believe that all of the saints that came before us have prayed in here. And that presence, the presence of the Holy Spirit is here. And so that's why when you come in, you feel so wonderful. You feel so peaceful. You feel at peace, at rest, because you're in the presence of God. Now, next week, I'm going to talk from Galatians 5:22 and encourage you. I kind of want to keep the Holy Spirit going because he's my friend. And I think that it will really benefit us. But I'm going to talk about the fruits of the Spirit next week. But those fruits will kind of give you how to walk in the Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is a gentleman who never forces you to do anything. He's gentle and he speaks softly to you. However, I am a witness that if you ask him, he will keep you. I was watching this show, this movie over the weekend. He will keep you. He will keep you. And what I mean by that is sometimes life has gotten so hard and I just don't want to do this anymore. I just can't. I may fall off the wagon. I may, whatever it may be. And in this movie, that's what the case was. There was this young man and he was at his dad's funeral and he had a lot of unresolved issues with his father. And so he was there looking and he was an alcoholic, but he was a recovering alcoholic. And so he couldn't take it anymore. And he left the funeral home and he went to the liquor store that was down the street. And he sat in front of the store and he said, God, we both know there's nothing good in that store for me. We both know. He said, if you could, please do something to get me away from this store. And he knew that he would make that decision, the wrong decision, if he went in his whole life. It didn't work when he was a drinker. And so in the story, no more than a minute later, the pastor drove up next to him and said, hey, I'm on my way over to visit with your family. Why don't you come on with me? The Holy Spirit will keep you. He'll send someone to help you, to guide you. And so in the story, they went on and he was able to walk away from that temptation. Sometimes temptations come. And they're not good for us. But if you want, the Holy Spirit will keep you. You just have to call out to him. Help me. Like in that case, he called out. He said, God, there's nothing here for me. But I'm weak and I won't be able to do it if you don't help me. And he sent someone to walk him away from the situation. That's God. That's our God. Amen. That's the Holy Spirit. He loves us so much that he does that for us. And so I thank God. I'm coming to the end of this. But what I want to do today is because we are here and the Spirit of God is so evident in the room, I can feel his presence. I want us to just seek him for a moment. I want us to just, as we pray, we're going to ask him to be our helper, to be our comfort, to be our guide as we go out of here and we go into the next week. So if you'll pray with me, that's what we're going to pray for today. Lord, we thank you. God, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for this day of Pentecost, and we thank you that you sent your Holy Spirit, God, to be our guide, to be our comfort, to give us direction. We thank you for it. And so as we all sit here on one accord, just as they all did back on that day, we're asking that you refill us with your Holy Spirit, God, that you would fill us up and that you would be our guide, that he would be our director, that he would take us, God. He would be our comfort in the time of comfort, God, that he would help us and lead us and word our mouths, bring things back to our remembrance that we need, God. We thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that there's no good thing you'll withhold from us. And so we thank you for your Holy Spirit today. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. God, you're so worthy. We thank you. And then again, God, we pray once again, Lord, for all of the needs that are here in the sanctuary today, God, all of those who are listening, God, we thank you that you are meeting those needs face by face, person by person, God. You know their needs, and we thank you for it, God. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. We thank you for your love, your loving kindness to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.